The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann, who joins me every morning, as a matter of fact, who is the Regional Director of Patient Services and the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. Ann, give our listening audience of WTBQ a good morning greeting.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, that's fantastic. Today's guest, I'm very excited about today's guest, who's going to be joining us. It's going to be Dr. Michael Gilligan. He's a trauma and acute care surgeon who works in Orange Park Hospital that's located in Orange Park, Florida. And it's going to be interesting as far as, like, he's going to explain to us how the trauma center actually works, as well as the serious cases that are referred to them, which would require surgery. So I think we're really very excited about Dr. Gilligan, with his busy schedule, to spend time with us on Health Matters. A&T Healthcare is a home care agency with offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City. Our corporate office is in New City, New York. We at A&T Healthcare are honored to be broadcasting every Thursday morning on health-related topics and subjects. As I always say, it's not controversial, contentious, or confrontational. Unlike the debates that are going on, I mean, what's that all about? You know, I sometimes think that when they have it, that there should be like a warning. You know, when they say, you know, this graphic detail, there's some warning, graphic detail. There should be some warning when you're going to be watching these debates. If you have high blood pressure, I don't know. Our show is not controversial, contentious, and confrontational. So you're not going to get that. However, we are engaging. We are informative. And I want to say we're entertaining, and I can assure you that Dr. Gilligan will certainly fill that mode, okay? We do accept calls and questions on the topics that we have today. The phone number is 845-651-1110. As always, thank you for making us a part of your Thursday morning. Okay, remember to follow us on Facebook. On Facebook, it's very important to follow us on Facebook. We're getting a lot of more likes and stuff. I think we're well over 2,000, and I think that's pretty good. I think that's very good.
Yeah, very
okay.
good.
Okay. The one thing that I wanted to say quickly is that we're talking about, so often we talk about aging and how you were supposed to be doing things. Aging, you know, adapting to aging, that's the part that we're talking about. Well, Ann and I saw Leon Russell and Dave Mason this past Friday. And let me tell you, they're still getting it. Ann said it. They're still getting it done. I know Leon Russell, he came out with the cane, and he was walking slowly and all this other stuff. But when he sat down in front of the piano, he was beautiful. He had music was playing.
It just flowed, no thought, just came right.
And even Dave Mason with the guitar leads and stuff. I mean, that's amazing that they've been doing this. When I was in college, I was following them, and now they're well into their 70s, but they haven't skipped a beat, but I think there's – I don't know what their secret is. Maybe we'll try to see if they can call in or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm pushing it a little bit.
Could give it a shot.
All right. Another thing what we noticed is NBC, we had one of our shows we were talking about eating disorders.
Right.
Well, NBC had a big thing on eating disorders, about dieting and that sort of stuff.
Well, it was compulsive dieting, actually.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we did mention last month that February was – compulsive eating or dieting month or awareness month. Is that correct?
Yes. So we had the information, and we always joke about people are stealing our information, but I don't know if NBC was doing it, but we're just glad in terms of this is important stuff.
It's good to know that we're on the forefront as well.
All right. I see we have a caller on the line. Welcome to Health Matters. Could you give me your first name and where are you calling from? Hello? Are you there? Oh, something.
Maybe not.
Oh, we lost them?
All right.
Okay. Try it again. Okay. Okay. One of the things that, we're still talking about with the Zika virus, again, we're still paying attention to the information that's coming in. And, we just want to make sure that, the big thing that I'm finding from it is the fact that the fact is that you don't know how long it's in the body. It can be anywhere from 3 to 7 days. And as I said, we're keeping you posted on that because this is a major thing. And as we know, in the East Coast, it's or it's the northeast coast, I should say, it's going to start getting warmer, so we're going to be seeing more. Now, I'm sorry, we do have the caller. Hi, welcome to Health Matters. If you could please give me your first name, and where are you calling from? Hello? Are we having a are we getting crank calls or something like that?
There you are.
Hello?
Hey, Pete, I didn't know they were going to put me on like that. Okay, it's Mike Gilligan.
Dr. Gilligan. Oh, I didn't know if you were getting crank. We do get callers and stuff like that, but I thought, is this guy giving a crank call or something like that? So, Dr. Gilligan, Mike, thank you so much for calling. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right, I always ask this question, right? What's the weather like down in Florida right now?
It's always pretty. It's always beautiful.
Yeah, you know, I never call it Florida. I always call it sunny Florida, and that's true. Would you say that's true?
Sunny in 70s.
Oh, that's beautiful. Dr. Gilligan, one thing I have to say, I know I'm going to slip a couple of times, but Michael and I both graduated from Clarkstown North. And we've been friends.
Where is that?
In New City, New York. Okay,
right in the Rockland back, County.
In Rockland County. And we've been friends for many years, all throughout high school, and we've kept in touch, you know, throughout all the years. And I'm just so delighted, Dr. Gilligan, that you were able to join us on Health Matters, because I think this is going to be a wonderful topic that we'll be discussing. Before we get started, Dr. Gilligan, could you please tell our listening audience about yourself? And really, what inspired you to become a doctor, okay? That's a Herculean task. And what inspired you to become a doctor? And tell us about you.
Well, you know, I don't know what inspired me to become a doctor, but I knew I wanted to be a doctor as early as eighth grade. I even talked with my dad's friends who were doctors about how you accomplish that. And, you know, it's a feeling. It's something that you want to do, and it's inert in yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's innate. It's innate.
I pursued that goal, and I never stopped pursuing it, and so that's why I'm here.
Okay. Wow. Let me. You know, one of the things that everyone always teased me in high school is I have this incredible memory that I remember specific details. And let me give you an example of it. Dr. Gill, I remember you were reading a book in, I guess it was junior or senior of high school, and it was on GP, a general practitioner. That was one of the books that you would read. Everyone else was reading other things, but that's what you were reading. And I do remember signing your high school yearbook. And I said something like, okay, doctor, like that. I might have been the first one that called you doctor before you were a doctor. You, go back and look at it if you have your yearbook. But I do remember signing it like that. And the funny part is I know my dad, he always said, yeah, Peter, you remember all these little details. But what about your schoolwork? You don't remember that as good. So it's one of those things.
So it does go that far back, you know, like you said, to eighth grade and beyond. So.
But yeah. There's a lot of
definitely your calling.
But tell me about the educational component that's involved as far as becoming a doctor, as well as becoming a surgeon.
Well, you know, you have to get into medical school and complete that.
And where did you go to medical school?
After college, and then you have to apply for a residency, and hopefully you get one because it's a tough road to become a surgeon. And then once you get a residency in surgery, which takes 5 years after medical school, part of that process back then, which doesn't exist anymore, is they used to have they used to cut you. Not everyone that got into the first year of general surgical residency made it to a fifth year. Roughly about 70-80% did. Okay. So they were cutting people back then, and if you got cut, you had to go do something else.
You couldn't become a
surgeon.
What made you decide that surgery was your direction?
You know, it was I always wanted to be a surgeon. Besides knowing that I wanted to be a physician, and I think it was cinched when I had an accident when I was 17, and I slipped down the side
of the hill.
I lost a number of my toes on my left foot. And I met a nice orthopedic surgeon, and it just reinforced everything that I wanted to do.
Wow. And
sometimes life experiences direct us.
Yeah, no, and that's what happened. Dr. Gill, what medical school did you go to?
I went to St. George's University in Grenada, West Indies.
Oh, that's right. And so did Dr. Linda Bahari went there. I remember when I was a commissioner of hospitals, I was looking at her credentials, and then I said, Grenada, wait, did you know Michael Gilligan? Oh, everyone knew Michael Gilligan. Of course I knew him. How can you not go to that medical school and not know Michael Gilligan? So, it really is a commitment as far as becoming a doctor, and a lot of people aspire to do it, but it's very hard to complete the process. All right, so when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Gilligan talk to us about how a hospital gets a designation as a trauma center. You're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Everybody, this is Rachel Ray. Join me today and every weekday with Rach on the Radio. I'll have tips to save you money, celebrity chit-chat, and of course, food. All from the kitchen table of our Emmy Award-winning show, Rachel Ray.
Weekdays at 12:30.
Hi, this is Jim Mazzetti of Miles Wealth Management. Join me and my guests every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. for an hour of the American Dream. And be a part of what made this nation great, right here on WTBQ Radio.
WTBQ, feeling all right.
All right, I'm feeling all right. Good morning. You're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. That's A-N-T, not AT&T. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fell, who's the Regional Director of Patient Care Services at A&T Healthcare also. On the line, we have Dr. Michael Gilligan, who is a trauma and acute care surgeon who operates, oh boy, that's a big run on words. He operates out of Orange Park Medical Center down in Orange Park, Florida. And we just had a conversation about like how much dedication there is as far as becoming a medical doctor, or even more importantly, to become a surgeon. And now you're doing something as far as in a trauma center, being a surgeon at a trauma center. Dr. Gilligan, could you just tell us something? How does a hospital actually get the designation as a trauma center? I know we have very few. We have several in New York State, but they're really few and far between. There's a big distance. But how does a hospital get that? I know as far as like Orange Park, you just had a survey as far as with the Joint Commission. I think you had really very high ratings on it. I think you had some accommodation ratings on it. Is that right?
Well, as far as your first question, basically, the states, the Department of Health, or similar situation in each individual state, determines, you know, which hospitals will be accepted for application.
Okay.
So it does have a political factor associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to apply with the state, and then you're allowed to open up as a trauma center provisionally.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have your first review, you then can function for a full year before you have your second review.
Okay.
And once you have your second review, and if you're doing things properly, you get approved to be a full-time trauma center at that point. As far as Orange Park Medical Center goes, they are on their second attempt to become a trauma center. And we're in the provisional status right now.
Wow.
We're up and running. When you're in provisional, you're doing exactly the same things that all trauma centers do. And you move forward from there.
Wow. You know, I have to say this comparison, Ann, like A&T Healthcare, we're a home healthcare agency, and we have offices, as I said, throughout Hudson Valley, as well as New York City and New Jersey. And we applied to become a CHA, that's a certified home care agency, mm-hmm. where we're able to accept Medicare and Medicaid. And we went through a very similar process. Didn't it sound like the same thing that A&T went through?
It's very similar.
Like, just because you want to open up a CHA, No, you can't.
You just can't start it. You have to be approved by the state of New York. You have to go through several different panels of review before they even will, you know, approve it. So, and then some. You have to have a survey after you open, after you have so many you have to have so many patients in order to do that. And then they give you your license.
So. Yeah, and I think it was always important is that you Auntie Willie strives to be doing better. And I know that, you know, one of the things that when I did work for the Department of Health, and I always remember whenever there's an application, be it for a trauma center or for being a CHA, is just the idea that they look for character and competency, okay? So, you know, the competency, you may know how to do it, but the character, if you have several pending cases of I don't know, fraud of some sort
They look at your medical procedures. They also will see what your financial status is and whether or not you're a viable organization.
So. Yeah, so that's – no. So that means
you're
that
right.
You have a lot of good stuff that's going on there. Dr. Keegan, could you tell us something about the kinds of injuries that you see?
Little bit about what exactly is a trauma center compared to a regular hospital or emergency room?
Yeah, I would love to talk about real quick the history of trauma, because going back to the mid-1960s, there were no trauma centers.
1960, wow.
Yeah, 1966 was probably the first one. It was Baltimore Shock Trauma. But back then, general surgeons like myself would be the guys that were staffing, working the trauma issues at these new trauma centers that were developing throughout the country. But they never trained people for it. You had your training in residency, and every general surgeon gets trained in trauma and burns and things like that. But they started a new residency called for trauma to develop trauma surgeons, and that only started probably in the 1980s.
Wow!
So trauma is a real new up and coming field, and it's totally devoted to the community.
Yeah.
Because you don't really have, quote unquote, a private practice when you're a trauma center or a trauma surgeon.
Yes.
You're working in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You have to be in the hospital. You can't leave the hospital. And trauma centers function that way, along with anesthesiologists have to be in-house besides the trauma surgeons.
Right.
The staff, the OR staff has to be in-house. A room has to be ready at all times to operate. And it's really changed the success of treating patients throughout our country and successfully in preventing them from death, et cetera.
Right, because trauma is a life-threatening event normally.
Right, yeah, correct. It's all like life and death, you know, decisions. I know I always talk, I've been talking about this, Dr. Gilligan, about my knee replacement and how it's been doing, but that was something that was scheduled like 4 weeks away. I was going to go there and that sort of stuff, but this is all like life and death and what happens. How is it triaged to determine that this person should go to a trauma center? Is there any, who makes that call?
Well, it's mostly made out on the field by EMS, the Emergency Medical Service teams, and they're greatly trained. These young men and women that are out there meeting you on the field, on the car wreck, gunshot wounds, stab wounds, and they stabilize the patient and bring them in. And when they call a trauma alert from the field, as they hit the door, we're all there, ready and waiting.
Wow.
Right,
and we can literally have a patient in the operating room in 8 to 10 minutes.
That's amazing.
Oh my
so
gosh!
So it's just an amazing thing, and that's why it's so exciting. I worked 25 years as a general surgeon, and these last 3 years, I've gone back to trauma, my roots from Bridgeport Hospital, Bridgeport, Connecticut.
That's right. That's right.
You know, it's good to learn. You've learned something new. You know. As a general surgeon, you're on call maybe, but you're not always ready. In the trauma center, you have to be always ready to go, and know all many different types of procedures. Is that correct?
Correct, because you don't have any help at first half hour. You just got to do it.
You're kind of on your own there, thinking on your feet, critical thinking.
I mean, I'm starting to say, Dr. Gilligan, you're like the Navy SEALs or the Special Forces of medical. Is that a fair comparison?
Forces of the ER.
Well, yeah, only for those real egregious cases.
Right.
But, you know, we take care of a lot of mundane stuff like fractures and things like that, and you know, so it's not quite as exciting.
but it can be very, I know ER work can be very energy driven, and you know, you're always ready to go, and you know, I know that what that feels like.
Okay. Now, Dr. Gill, can you tell us something about, you know, the different you know, kinds of injuries that may be referred to a trauma center where you would be called in?
Yeah, every trauma center has a different pattern, but if I had to generalize, I would say that, you know, about 80% of traumas are blunt traumas, which means motor vehicle accidents, fractures, falls, bleeds in the brain because you hit your head. And then 20% are penetrating, which would be like your gunshot wounds, your stab wounds, injuries like that.
Wow.
But I know, like, as far as, like, with motor vehicle accidents, I know, like, so often they've made so many innovations on the cars that, you know, if you are in an accident, but I guess it still happens. I think the cars now with the SUVs are not only bigger, but they're also a lot faster that are traveling, and there is always that risk. And it's do you have a heliport? Where a helicopter can land?
Every trauma center has to have a heliport, a place helicopter to land, because throughout the United States now, most trauma patients are transported by helicopter when the weather is good. Mm-hmm. If it's a case where they're dying or close to death.
Right.
Okay, so you can't be wasting time. And that's what we were saying. It's going to be like life or death. What about any kind of injuries like, traumatic brain injuries? Do you have any of those injuries? Because A&T, we are very involved. There's a traumatic brain injury waiver in New York State. And we do service, you know, individuals that are afflicted with, you know, traumatic brain injury, and we're getting like so much playing that I know with the particularly in professional sports that are happening about protective gear and things like that.
Oh yeah, traumatic brain is a big problem in the trauma field. Anytime patients have brain trauma, whether it be a subarachnoid bleed, a subdural bleed, an epidural, mm-hmm. and they require craniotomy, or they just have, you know, very bad cerebral concussion. They can have loss of cognitive ability. They can have loss of function, right. And it's very difficult. It could sometimes be, you know, for the remainder of their life. So, like at Orange Park Medical Center, we even have a neuropsychologist that's just trained in TBI, which is traumatic brain injury, who gets on board on all those cases.
Well, you know,
I have to ask this question: are motorcycle helmets mandatory in Florida?
In Florida, they're not mandatory.
Oh, but you know, I can't believe, really. We were going on a big road trip, and I remember, and I said, all of a sudden, you go into states, they're not wearing a helmet, and then it's like, let those who drive decide, you know, that's the mantra. But it makes no sense or anything like that. But it is, you don't have to wear it when you get to Florida. So it doesn't make sense that a person keeps a helmet on in one state and takes it off when they get to another state, because there's no decrease in the amount of risk, that can happen. I know something also, Dr. Gilligan, about traumatic brain injury. We did have a guest who was on, that she was one of the, from, you know, New York State, that was very involved in traumatic brain injury. And one of the things that she said is that if you saw one traumatic brain injury, you saw one traumatic brain injury. And
they're all different.
They're all different. And many times it's basic. Could you comment on that, about how they're all different?
Yeah, I guess it's, the part of the brain that gets injured, and right. and that will delineate what cognitive ability or what function you've mm-hmm. lost, either temporarily or permanently.
Right.
So, yes, they are all different, depending on the brain is injured.
Now, also going back to, like, that's amazing. Like, you're already in the OR waiting for the patient to come, but is that something, as far as if you do a very quick intervention, that could lower the severity of the traumatic brain injury? Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always the ABCs. Anytime you treat a trauma patient, it's airway, breathing, circulation.
Okay.
So it's, you know, you got to have an airway first, you got to have the patient breathing second, and you got to control blood loss.
Yeah.
And once you've done those three things, the patient can live. And those three things are done in a matter of minutes.
Right. Wow. The importance of getting someone there as quick as possible.
Yeah, I know we always talk about that, about, you know, with the diagnosis and then the prognosis is, and so often the sooner you do an intervention, the better the prognosis is. The better the prognosis is, and that's why it's something you do, major intervention in terms of, you know, going into the OR and the surgery, as well as having, you know, the results here after the surgery is performed about how it would work.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. You're listening.
But again, the emergency medical field, the staff out on the field, they're just phenomenal.
Oh, definitely.
These young men and women that treat the patients initially, they already have controlled the ABCs by the time they hit the door.
Right. And then they're from the community.
But occasionally you might get a patient that's dropped off, at the door, more or less, by from a gunshot wound.
That
stabbed.
Could happen, right? And it might so be an hour or so since, you know.
So then you maintain the ABCs right away from there.
Okay, you're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we'll have Dr. Gilligan tell us more about his work as a surgeon in a trauma and acute setting. Listen to Health Matters.
ANC Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home health aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. ANC Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Lynn Allen Cione. I'm the president and CEO of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. Join us every Friday at 12 noon when we will highlight Orange County Chamber's events and business right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hi, this is Dan Castricone. Join me every Thursday at 12:30 for the Dan Castricone Radio Show. We'll take your phone calls, have exciting guests, talk about current events, maybe a little politics. Thursdays at 12:30 on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
WTBQ Weather.
We'll see increasing clouds and cold today, low 30s. Periods of snow tonight, down to near 20, maybe a couple of inches. Tomorrow, snow in the morning, cloudy through the afternoon, windy and cold. Temperatures stay in the 30s. Partly cloudy, quite cold tomorrow night, down to 20 to 25, and sunshine on Saturday, we should reach 40. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo.
WTBQ, feeling all right.
And feeling all right. Good morning again. You're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And my wife, Ann Fell, is joining us. She's the Regional Director of Patient Care Services at A&T Healthcare. And on the line, we have with us Dr. Michael Gilligan, who is a trauma and acute care surgeon. And we're really, Dr. Gilligan, we're so thankful that your busy schedule, you're able to spend time with us. But you're giving our listening audience, as well as myself, a wealth of information as far as how it actually operates. I know one of the things that I have to say is that one of my jobs at A&T Healthcare is I'm the Director of Education, and what I do is I train individuals to become a home healthcare aide as well as a personal care aide. And many times when I always say this, Dr. Gill, is that it takes a certain person, kind of person, to work in this particular field. And when I interview candidates to be in the class, now A&T, we have an upcoming class in Kingston and Newburgh, so just give our home base, 845-638-4342, give them a call, and they can tell when the next class is going to be. But I always find that I have to get a sense, you can always change careers. As you know, I was originally a microbiologist, and then I went into nursing, and then I went into infection control. So it's really been very diverse my medical field. But I always look for someone to say, it takes a certain kind of person to do this kind of work. And clearly what you are doing, it takes an exceptional kind of person to work. It's more than, gee, this is what I want to do. But there's a lot of stuff. And I'm just still very awestruck about the kind of work that you're doing, about all the other surgeons that do this kind of work. Let me ask this one question. Have you had any injuries on hoverboard injuries, Dr. Gilligan?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the old Hoover boards per se, but yes, we did have one injury.
Young
kid fractured his ankle, so that wasn't too bad.
Okay, but he was on a hoverboard, right?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, well, let me tell you, we had a show. My daughter Nicole was on, as well as Jacqueline Onady. Now, Jacqueline Onady is Margaret Onady, the president, and Pat Onady, her husband, on the show. And we were talking about this right around the Christmas time. And we were talking about the injuries, and they had these funny stories about people that they were getting injured on it. And what I was saying is, well, listen, if anyone got a hoverboard for Christmas, please don't forget A&T Healthcare. If you get injured or what have you, you know where you can get the finest in home care services. So I have a story. Ann and I, we were doing a road trip, okay? And what happened was we were driving, and there was a parking lot that we were driving by. And sure enough, there was a child. He was less than 10. He was like a little child. And it was like the neatest thing. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at a Lamborghini. Oh, my God, look at that. And he was moving at, I want to say, a very robust speed. And I got caught up in the moment. I just yelled out. And we had the top down. I yelled out, A&T Healthcare, you know. But it looked so cool. It looked so, like, fun. And it looked so dangerous. He was not wearing a helmet.
No, I don't think they've made that mandatory or recommended at this point.
Let me go back and let me embarrass you a little bit, Dr. Gilligan. I remember it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. You used to play hockey at the, where is that? The one by where you used to live.
High Tour Ice Rink.
Low Tour Rink.
Low Tour.
High Tour was the bowling alley.
That's
still is the bowling alley.
That's what it is. But you played hockey. And what had happened was that you did not wear helmets back then. I think the goalie did, but you did not. The other players did not. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
The other thing I know is that you played lacrosse, but you did wear helmets with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's much later than that. You know, in the 70s, early
right.
70s. So yeah, we were wearing helmets.
Yeah, I know. Pat
Even
Onan.
In high-
okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, even in high school, you wore helmets.
Yeah, I know Pat Onady. He's Margaret's husband and one of our vice presidents. He was very good in lacrosse. That was really what did they call it? The fastest game on 2 feet or something like that. But that was another sport that really took a lot of dexterity and coordination. But anyway, I'm just saying, like the hoverboards, I don't know. It's just a disaster waiting to happen. And this guy was so young. And, I mean, he wasn't more than 10 years old, but he was zipping along. And I don't know how they control. You're not going to see me on one of them, okay? Those Hoover days. I never had Hoover days, but that ship sailed. You're not going to find me going on something like that. But anyway, I thought that was a unique situation. But I did yell out, A&T Healthcare, if you are injured, we could be able to provide some help for you.
Right.
Very good.
Good advertisement.
That's right. Just let me ask this question now. How do you work now? And why don't you tell a little bit about home care? Okay, let's talk up home care, about the advantages of home care and how you worked as a surgeon in a trauma center.
Well, home care.
In the field of trauma, most of these patients that have multiple injuries or even significant isolated injuries are going to require one of three things, either a rehab hospital or a stint in a skilled nursing facility for rehab, mm-hmm. or they're going to require home rehab with a home nursing services. These people are injured. They need help, and they need those services. And not only just rehab, they need occupational therapy, sometimes speech therapy for the traumatic brain injured patients, and wound care if they should happen to have had an operation or significant wounds. So it's almost all of them need some kind of care after we release them from the hospital. Right. So you're very important in that.
And oftentimes people after a stay in a hospital, acute care, especially after a traumatic injury or a traumatic event, they will spend some time in a rehab or a subacute rehab nursing home style facility. But even then, when they go home, there is some time that you need to be home to recover. Oftentimes, after being in a facility, you need to be reacclimated and continue your therapy or have assistance from a home health aide to kind of get you back on your feet and get you moving again. And home care certainly offers these services and helps you to stay in your home and get home sooner. Home care services include personal care, help with bathing, washing hair, shaving, even getting dressed, homemaking such as cooking and cleaning, even doing laundry, helping you with your groceries, meal preparation, as well as home health care services. You know, someone there to take your blood pressure, help you with your medication, and the nurses for wound care. We have occupational therapists, speech therapists,
you have all those
physical therapists.
And
certainly being home, your care is delivered in the comfort of your home. It promotes healing. Your family and friends are around you. You feel more independent and have more freedom. And you have more freedom to make your own choices as well.
Right. So. And I did have a personal experience December 1st. I had a total knee replacement. And I was only in the hospital for, 2.5 days because they had to do it. Two and a half days. And people, that's all. But that was major
surgery.
Which
is terrific.
Yeah.
You want to get home as soon as possible.
And you wanted to get home. And I do remember that part, Ann, where you were saying that, you get home and you're with your family. I remember everyone came over that Saturday night. Everyone came over and they joined us. We had like little...
It was nice to have your family be able to visit without the stress of traveling to the hospital.
Yeah, and that was one of the things when the surgery was done in Beth Israel Hospital. From where I live, that's like going a major endeavor as far as like getting there. But I do remember just the funny story was everyone's around. So I said, let me sit down on the couch. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Peter couldn't get up from the couch. And unfortunately, all the big burly guys, my son-in-law was there as well as my brother-in-law. And they just
hunkered down
and they hoisted me up, okay? They hoisted me up. One of the other things that I found about it is that, and this is one of the major things that we promote as far as with A&T and with the home care, is that you're in your own home, is that you have your stairs that you're going to be walking up and down on. One of the things that the physical therapist always said to me is that, turn on this light, Peter. I said, I never turn on. Well, turn it on now because your legs aren't the same. The other thing, it's your bathroom. Even with the walker and stuff, like they really assessed everything. You know, if there's any like runs in the carpet,
it's your shower, your bathroom, getting in and out of your own bed. People's beds at home are a lot different than a hospital.
Yes. They're very different. They don't go low and stuff like that. And it's like you have to relearn everything. You have to relearn everything, what to do. And I know that even, like walking up the stairs with the walker, you have to think about what you're doing and that sort of stuff. But it was just so good. I was learning in my own home. It wasn't like I was on... I think it was like the last surgery that I had a knee replacement 15 years ago. I did it in the hospital, so they had a little bathroom that we practiced on, which looked nothing like my bathroom at home. So, everything I was learning, it was different. And I also left in the terms as far as getting in and out of a car. That was all stuff that we had to do. And that was really, again, as I said, just like to relearn it.
Mike, let me ask you, what kind of injuries do you see with the elderly population?
Well, the elderly, they fall all the time.
Oh, boy.
It's the one thing, it's so simple, right, to try to prevent. But a lot of times the elderly are too proud to use their walking devices when they're unstable on their feet because they have a bad hip, a bad knee. And one fall and one fractured hip can actually mean death for a significant proportion of geriatric patients. It's really something that is it's terrible that they have to go through that suffering just because of a simple fall. But that's the number one injury, fall from standing.
Fall from standing. And you know, there are some other things that might cause it to be more complicated, such as osteoporosis, blood thinners.
Yeah, blood thinners, when they're on blood thinners, that always complicates factors because you have to reverse the blood thinners and they bleed more often and have more hemorrhage, especially with the brain, if they hit their head on the way down.
Wow.
They'll have a traumatic brain injury like an epidural or subdural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know we always talk about that. We've had several shows on fall prevention, and I spoke at a couple of the conferences that we had, the caregivers connection
and
conference.
You know, as you age, your body changes, your vision, changes, your hearing changes.
That's right.
I know. We do that a lot in our house.
What'd you say?
Wait, I need my glasses.
The problem is, you said that. How dare you? I said no. I didn't do that like that. So.
But your mobility changes. Your ability to react sometimes changes. Especially when you're driving, so you do have to pay attention.
Yeah.
And you, a lot of times nowadays, a lot of people are taking antihypertensives. That's for high blood pressure, high blood pressure medication. You might take diabetes medication, and all those things. You might take a diuretic. You might be dehydrated at times, so you have to keep those in mind too.
Okay.
And with all those medications, those patients suffer, the orthostatic hypotension, if they get up too fast, they get dizzy and they fall.
And down they go.
Or if they go from a sitting to a standing position too fast, or they take a step right away, they actually have syncopal episodes that cause them to fall. So you're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more on this fall prevention and what happens.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Marina Case of the Red Shutters in Warwick, New York. Tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hi, this is Dr. David Leach, the superintendent of the Warwick Valley Central School District and host of Your Schools. Listen every Monday at 12 noon to learn what's happening in your schools right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
And we're feeling all right on Health Matters. Good morning. You're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella, Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and I'm here with my wife, Ann Fella. And we have Dr. Michael Gilligan on our line. He's been telling us all about his work as a trauma care and acute care surgeon. He's down in Orange Park, Florida, beautiful Florida. Hey, Dr. Gilligan, do you like that song, Feeling All Right?
Oh, I love that song.
Oh, it's a keeper. I tell you, it gets me going. I just think that's the song, Feeling All Right. I am feeling all right with you having being our guest today.
Actually, we heard a totally different version of it.
Oh, yes. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show. Ann and I saw Leon Russell and Dave Mason in concert on Friday, and we always talk about aging, about adapting, and they're still getting it done. They're still absolutely just like
Well, I think Dave Mason wrote Feeling All
Yes,
Right.
Yes, that's right. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Ann. he wrote Feeling All Right. That would be a good show, I think, for WTBQ, that people that have written songs that other people made more famous than they did. I think George Benson did The Greatest Love of All, and then Whitney Houston made it more famous. But anyway, the version that Dave Mason did sounds nothing like Joe Cocker, but it's all the stuff. But he did acknowledge, I got to give a little credit to Joe Cocker because he helped so much. Dr. Gilligan, we were talking about different falls and stuff like that. I know I rub it in, you know, you're down in Florida, but one of the things that we talked about preventing falls, particularly we've had a very mild winter this year up in New York State, and unlike the last 2 years, but one of the things is that to prevent a person from slipping on ice or slipping in the snow, there's a certain way which is done. I'm sorry, this is radio. We have the limitations, so I'll try to describe it, although when I make the other presentations on a stage, I'm able to do it. But the way to prevent a fall when you walk on ice is to walk like a penguin, okay? They've perfected it after all these centuries. Trees and stuff. But the idea is that you want to go forward, and you want to have, rather than having the weight distributed at the center of your body, you want to be leaning forward so that it's on the front foot. So you walk like, think about how a penguin walks, and that's how you would do it. And I think that's something that I'm able to demonstrate, you know, how you fall when you slip and stuff like that. But walking like that way would, you know, prevent it. We were talking about falls, and I know you said that so often, you know, they could have, you know, real like a, I know my mother, just to share that story, my mother had fell on an escalator, and it really, she had to have a total knee replacement. It really put a hamper on her life, the remaining years. It was absolutely always that extra stuff that it happened, and, you know, it was just a concern. One of the things that I do stress, okay, and I try to say this whenever I talk at the senior centers, is that sometimes if a person falls, they don't want to tell anyone. They don't want to tell their sons or daughters because they think, oh, no, I'm going to have home health care. Oh, no.
I have to go to a nursing home.
And that's
definitely not what you want.
But what I try to stress with them, and I think you touched on it, Dr. Gilligan, about maybe there could be a modification in the medication, or maybe there could have been some easy way of you know, because if you fall, and a lot of times they say if you fall, you're going to do it again at the same time, same place, or whatever you're doing. And that's one of the things that if there is a fall, you want to record as much information what preceded it as opposed to, you know, to determine what could have been a factor that you could have prevented. And it's like you said, a lot of times it can be very easy to correct it just having lights. You know, just having lights that
just
are,
turning,
you know,
on the light, right?
Yeah, particularly in the nighttime.
You know, checking that your, you know, seat is good for you to get up so that you don't lose your balance when you, you know, if you want to sit on a chair or a couch where you have arms on it so that can help to push you up.
And you want to make sure that they're like secure that. And things like that. And
you don't want to sit on a rolling chair.
Yeah, you don't. you don't want to do something like that. Boy, I don't
sure, know. You want to basically, like we used to do when we raised our children, we baby-proofed our house.
You're right.
Yes, yes.
You sort of want to fall-proof your house for the geriatric age group.
I'm going to steal that. Is that okay?
I'm
shameless. If I hear a great, I'm going to incorporate that in my next talk. That's right.
Well, yes, we are. And you'll see when you have a grandchild, because we do have one grandchild.
We have a little grandchild running around. He's keeping his grandpa young. Let me put it to that way, right?
And when they come to your house, you got to baby-proof everything.
Last night he had about 10 cars
Then I was at risk of falling.
That's what I'm telling them. We got to move them so Grandpa doesn't fall.
And all the lights were on. Thank you, Ann, very much. I know every light in the house was on because this way they have the little what is it? The Lightning McQueens. Yes, he's got every one of them.
I have about 10 Lightning McQueens, just Lightning McQueens.
Sometimes they wind up on the stairs going downstairs. And I know that was a big thing that when I had physical therapy, that turn on the lights so that you could see what's going on.
We have to turn on the ghost light.
I don't know what to say, but I don't know what happened to the time. Okay, I'm just looking at it, but Dr. Gilligan and Michael, I've been very good. I've been calling him Dr. Gilligan and all that stuff. But I really want to thank you so much for being a guest on Health Matters, and you just gave us a wealth of information, and I learned so much. I always say that a lot of times when we have our guests, that I wind up learning more things about it, but. You should be very proud of the work that you're doing, how you're helping humanity. I mean, this is just so incredible work that you're doing, and you were certainly blessed to it. There are many a person, and that was an interesting thing that he said, that they didn't, everyone that applied for that one thing, they didn't necessarily get in. You had to do in another field, although they're not doing it now. But it just takes a certain kind of person, and I think that was something you were able to do. I mean, a lot of people had the drive and determination, but sometimes if you don't have the scholastic component to it or that, it's good. But can I ask you real quickly, I'll put you on the spot. Is it possible we could have you on the show again?
Oh, man, I would love to.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's I was getting a little chill and I asked him, I don't know. Oh, listen, Michael, Dr. Gilligan, thank you so much for being on, and we'll be in touch, okay?
All right, Andy.
Hopefully we'll get to see each other.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
you guys should
Florida,
come down here to Florida.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, with the sun.
We should.
Rub it in. Rub it in.
Tomorrow and it's snowing up there.
That's right. Okay. Oh, wouldn't that be the best?
Okay. All the best, Mike.
So much. And I do want to mention that, research shows that home health care services improves people's ability to walk and move around, to get in and out of bed and have less pain when moving around, improves bladder control, and gets better in bathing. A&T Healthcare has PCA, Personal Care Assistant Services, as well as home health aid services, nursing services, PT, OT, speech. We participate in programs offered through the Office of the Aging, Medicaid managed care programs, private insurance programs, New York State programs, such as the Nursing Home Transition and Diversion Waiver, as well as Traumatic Brain Injury Waiver programs. And we also take private pay. So certainly, keep that in mind whenever you need it. We are accepting applications for our PCA class in April in our Newburgh office. You can give them a call at 561-7900.
Okay. No, and that's good. And A&T, we're very proud of the work that we do. We're a home care agency, and a lot of times people say to me, I don't need any home care. Well, it's not something that you plan to have home care, but things happen. Things happen.
And as Dr. Gilligan mentioned, in a trauma situation, you didn't expect for that to happen, and certainly afterwards.
That's not something that you expect, but
you have your recovery time.
Yeah, and that's what it is. You want to be discharged sooner. That's what they're doing, but you want to make sure that when you are discharged, you're in a safe place and that you're receiving the proper care. And I think that's always important. And that's how the healthcare paradigm is switching, is that they want to discharge people quicker from the hospital to the home, or to the nursing home. But as I said, it's just so much better as far as being in the home setting. And just as we said, you're right there. People, your friends can visit easy. That was a big thing with me when I was at Beth Israel. That was such a long...
Right. I mean, just for me to come down and visit.
I'm still thanking you for it, Ann. I'm still thanking you for
riding around
the time.
First Avenue.
Going down there and all this other stuff. It's like never mind about the cost of parking. That didn't matter.
No.
Well, listen, we're about out of time. We want to thank you all for listening to us on Health Matters.
And I hope that it was informative.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So just remember is that, stay healthy. Why? Because your health matters. And to you, your family, and friends, wish you all the best. And we'll hear you, or we'll listen to us next week. We'll be on next week.
You'll be hearing us.
Same time, you'll be hearing us, okay? All the best. Bye-bye now.